His example had shamed Dennis, and all the more so because of the contempt Dennis had once felt for the pastoral simple-mindedness of Conyers' approach to his episcopal duties. I could have learned something from him if I'd only bothered to listen. Well, I've still learned something, and as the writ says, true knowledge and understanding never come too late for the profit of a man's soul. He opened the writ to one of the marked passages from the 9th verse of the 15th chapter of the Book of Langhorne. For how will a man profit if he gains all the world's power, yet loses his soul? And how much will he pay, how much gold will he bring for his soul? Ponder that well, for whoever is ashamed of the teachings God has sent through my hand, that man also will I be ashamed of on the day he stands before the God who created him. And I will neither hold forth my hand as his shield, nor speak for him in that dread judgment. That, he thought, was a passage Zaspar Clinton might profitably spend a few hours contemplating. He turned the book's pages, listening to the crisp flutter of the thin, expensive paper. There were so many things in that book, so much he would not have time enough to ponder as it deserved. And there were a few things missing as well. He reached the end of the Book of Chihiro. By ancient tradition, there was always a blank page between Chihiro and the beginning of Hastings, but there was no blank page in Dennis's copy of the writ, not any more, at any rate. He ran an index finger down the gutter between printed pages, feeling the raggedness where a single unprinted page had been removed, then drew a deep breath and closed the book once again. He sat back and wondered if Adderai had received any of his letters. He'd considered writing to others among his one-time friends or to the other members of his family, but decided not to. None of them had dared to emulate Conyer, and none of them had so much as spoken in his defense. It had scarcely come as any surprise, given the charges against him and the identity of his accuser, yet that had made his sense of abandonment hurt no less. That wasn't the reason he hadn't written to them, however. Whether they'd abandoned him or not, they were still his family, and he'd known every word of every letter he might write would be scrutinized by the Inquisition. Given the near panic which had gripped the entire temple since word of Carus's smashing naval victories, and even more, Stainer's letter to the Grand Vicar had reached Zion, Clinton would be looking for additional victims, searching for additional blood with which to placate his fellow vicars. Dennis had no intention of helping him to offer up the other members of his own family simply because of some incautious word, some phrase which could be taken out of context in a letter from him. But he did hope that at least one of his letters had reached Adderai. He doubted any of them had, whatever the inquisitors might have promised him. After all, what promise was binding to an apostate heretic? To a man convicted, and Dennis had been convicted long before any formal trial, of selling his protection to the very spawn of Shanwei, of deliberately lying to the Council of Vicars and to the Grand Inquisitor to conceal his own sins and the even greater sins being practiced by the heretics and blasphemers of his fallen archbishopric. Why should any of his letters be delivered to anyone? They'd taken all of them, though, whether to deliver, to somehow use against him, or simply to dispose of unsent. And they denied him any paper except to write those letters upon. But they hadn't realized he had another source of paper. Nor had they suspected that Jason Conyer had been more than simply a visitor. That Glacier Heart's primate had very quietly volunteered to take messages from him.